following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this, a Thursday?
Thursday.
You know what I call it?
I don't know.
I should have come up with a better anagram for this. I call it day one.
Day one.
Yeah, day one. Call it day one.
Bye.
And Greg Holland brings it home. Bouncing ball, Moustakas, fair ball, sets, throws, Royals win it. Kansas City, you've got a World Series.
That's why, baby. I'm sorry if you're a Cleveland fan.
Oh, hey, no, I'm a baseball fan. And you know what? I gotta give my shout out to Manny Wright.
Okay.
Lifelong Royal fan, Loper.
How old is Manny?
Manny is 23.
See, there's the deal. All the youngsters, the college kids, they haven't ever seen the Royals have success, let alone make the run that they're making right now.
So I got to give Manny huge props, huge shout-out, because he's a diehard Royal fan. Ever since I've known him, he's always been a Royals fan. And so I'm as the bandwagon slows down for everyone to get on, I'm most excited for those true diehard Royal fans that get to enjoy this World Series.
Here's the deal. Sometimes you just got to say to hell with it and take the day off, all right? You just got to do it. I should have did it yesterday. Had an opportunity to go to Kansas City. Let me preface that with saying, at the time that this was being discussed over the weekend, you had no idea for sure that you were going to have a rainout or B, clinching. If we don't have a rainout and all of a sudden it's over in four games, then you go, what am I doing here on Wednesday morning? But which would still be cool, but it would have been cool to be there through social media, see some folks that I knew that were there. And again, you don't have to tell me on Facebook that the Royals won. I know that.
Yeah, okay. I enjoyed the Twitterverse. Did you see what? No, you know, really, we all know they won. My guys are very upset with me because they didn't get to see it. We practiced. I was that guy yesterday.
You are a communist.
I was that guy yesterday.
And then what did you do last night?
Watch the Giants, Cardinals game.
Yeah, communism reigns again.
Well, the
you
pitch,
make them practice at 5 in the morning when it's dark, and then you don't let them watch. It's like,
you know, the pitchers got to watch. The position players did not get to watch.
I'll just put it this way. If Detroit was playing yesterday, would you have been practicing? With the opportunity of Jabba pitching, and you know the answer. You know the answer. You would not have been practicing.
In my defense.
Maybe through the first five innings. Okay, boys, we go. He's up in the pen. We go.
In my defense, with this year's squad, we would be practicing.
Bull.
We would be practicing. With this year's team.
Did I just tell you a moment ago, to hell with it, we're taking the day off?
This year's team, they need to work. They need the practice.
I don't doubt it.
They need the practice.
You can have two-a-days. You can practice on Sunday night. afternoon, because of the darkness factor, you got the indoor facility.
Yes,
you know. So how many days during the World Series are you going to practice?
They're all
night games, I guess, so maybe that doesn't matter.
Fall breaks Monday, Tuesday, and so then we finish up. Yeah, so we got about another 8 days of fall left, 9 days of fall baseball left. So
it's so awesome.
It just means a lot to myself and all the guys that have been here for that long. Dane Moore, the GM, you know, he came in, you know, had some struggles early. It was like a lot of us, but, you know, we stuck with it and wanted to see the end result. So here it is.
Alex Gordon, like you said, like a lot of us. Alex Gordon, we weren't sure. When he got shipped down to Omaha to switch positions, that was kind of a 50-50 chance that he would ever make it in the major leagues, that he might not even make it back. And here he is. He's going to be playing at home in Game 1 of the World Series just down the road from his hometown on Tuesday night.
From a coaching standpoint, you bring up that all the time to young people. I mean, that's just a story of perseverance, a guy who got a big contract. And, you know, he's one of the few guys that have gotten the big contract, been demoted, and then have been back. Because a lot of times those guys don't have the character and the work ethic to get back. And he obviously, and what I know of him and knowing him a little bit, is from the standpoint of a high character kid, you know, a huge work ethic kid. And that's what makes postseason baseball so much fun to watch, is because you get to start to hear these stories about it. The one thing that I will say is I have yet to figure out how Big Game James got the nickname Big Game James. If our producer could effort how he earned that nickname, because I want to say that James Shields gave himself that nickname. Because the fact that he won one World Series game in 08 for the Rays does not constitute
the
name.
Just winning a World Series game for the Rays ought to get you as a nickname.
Really? So that gets you – I don't know the criteria, but I guess Big Game James – it's not Big Games James.
No.
It's just Big Game. So that was his big game.
Well, why?
I don't know, but I just find that –
Big Game Bob Stoops' name, Big Game Bob. Exactly.
I don't know.
Coming up on the program today, Luke Hoover of RotoWire answers all your fantasy football questions in our last segment. So fire them off. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can always email them into the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, the Facebook is always there at ESPN Superstation. We'll also talk with Stanley Jackson of the Big Ten Network, a little Big Ten football, Nebraska Northwestern, and everything that's going on this weekend. And right now, the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever have a lot of things going on. Their youth mentor hunt is coming up on Saturday. Their big banquet is right around the corner. And Jerry Stidham is with us here in studio to discuss it all. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you again.
Big discussion over baseball right now.
Were you running around with your shirt off yesterday after the baseball game, or is that not you?
I'm not a huge baseball fan. Really never have, but it's kind of exciting to see the local region team really kicking it in, so it's been a long time.
Yeah, we'll get into this discussion later today or tomorrow more, because for me personally, and I suppose for Damon as a coach, it's different when you're kind of around it every day, talking about it every day, and have been for years, because let's face it, the Royals fans coming out of the woodwork because they didn't have anything to yell about, kind of like Nebraska fan if they get into the Final Four or the National Championship the next time, if that happens, how it will change the way you feel about it.
I've been there the whole time.
Yeah, but you had Notre Dame.
You know.
Yeah. You had Notre Dame. They were there.
I remember the George Brett years growing up and those teams and, you know, the success they had during the 80s. So.
Well, the great part about it is it kind of reminds us, because it's so long ago and they've been hammering the 1985 part home this whole time, whether it's SportsCenter or wherever you're listening or looking, it kind of reminds you of your youth, whether you were in college, high school, or just a little kid. And a lot of things obviously molded in your youth, and hunting is one of those, Jerry.
Most definitely.
Whether you go out with your dad, your mom, your grandpa, your uncles, your aunts, whatever, your brothers, sisters, this is a family deal, and the youth mentor hunt is a great way for some of these youngsters to get out there.
It is. A lot of people think about Pheasants Forever and they're thinking, well, it's a hunting organization. It is not that whatsoever. It's more of a conservation group. We're more about habitat. When we talk about habitat, a lot of people think, well, you're putting habitat in for pheasants. Well, no. We're worried about habitat for all wildlife. So, you know, that's a misconception that we got to break right away with a lot of people. Now, people who are in central U.S. and big hunting areas of the U.S. where Pheasants Forever is really big, they understand. But it's a misconception that really people don't understand. I mean, I have this conversation with people all the time who I'm going to say are on the left who aren't big gun people, yeah, who you know, really don't understand, and they're just saying, well, you're just promoting hunting. No, we're not. It's all about wildlife. It's all about habitat. It's about conservation. It's about saving the land.
And it's more, and that starts this Saturday, because when we say it's a youth mentor hunt, yeah, they're going to go out and there's some planted birds and things like,
yes,
that, but you're teaching them how to handle a rifle,
yes,
how to clean it, how to ask the neighbor to,
correct,
hunt on the land. Tell us,
yes,
a little bit about what will be going on.
You know,
on.
And that's another big, big aspect of Pheasants Forever and really any conservation group. It wouldn't matter if you're talking to DU or Rocky Mountain Elk Count Federation or, you know, any of them, Wild Turkey Federation, they're all the same. Conservation and education. And part of that is getting that next generation of people who are going to grow up and be adults in this world to understand the importance of hunting and conservation of our land. So that is a big aspect. We go over gun safety. We have a shooting station where they work with somebody who is trained in the proper style of shooting to do it correctly. We have first aid that one of the Boy Scout troops is going to go over. If you happen to get injured in the field, they're going to go over those kinds of things that you might run into. We got a dog handling station where people are going to talk about dogs, different types of hunting dogs, maintenance on dogs, how do you care for them, what do you need to do. Then you actually have the hunt itself, which, again, yeah, we do use raised birds or pen-raised birds. But, you know, the birds that where we get ours, we get them from a gentleman down there south of Grand Island. He raises some of the best in the state. I mean, they don't really fly and sit like pen-raised birds. They are pretty active, and they most of them get up fairly quick and don't have to be kicked to get up off the ground. So it's actually about as close to a real hunt as you're going to get for the kids, and it ensures that the kids get a shot most of the time.
And, folks, Jerry's told me before we got started here that they do have a spot or two left. This always fills up, and so don't waste time. It's,
yes,
Saturday. It's supposed to be a nice morning.
Yes. You know, the big thing about that is it is this Saturday. We're having out at Fort Kearney Shooting Sports Association. So that's basically at the intersection of Pool Road and 115th. So we're about 4.5 miles north of Highway 30 on Pool Road. Basically, if you get up out of the river valley, you get up on top of the hills, you've gone too far. It's right there as you go up out of the river valley. It sits on the right side of the road. Registration will be from 7 to approximately 7:30. We'll be started by 8 at the very latest. And we're usually done by 2 o'clock. So, I mean, it's we cram a lot of stuff in about a 6-hour period, but it's really great. We, you know, they get a little bit of breakfast. We feed them donuts. We get lunch, you know. And the great thing about this is we've been doing it. This is either our 17th or 18th year that we've been doing it since 1998. We have had 328 kids go through our program here. We average 20 to 25 every year. We've spent over $31,000 on youth education in that time, just on this youth mentor hunt. That doesn't include some of the other stuff that we're involved with. Just the youth mentor hunt that we do here locally every year. So it's kind of a big deal.
And what are the ages again?
Basically, they have to have passed their hunter safety course. So
okay,
you're looking at about the 12 to 15 year range. Is
perfect.
So they got to have taken that. They have to provide their card and certification to prove that they've taken the class. So.
What are the kids, you guys have done this long enough, and we mentioned all the things that they go over. So for a little while you're talking about this, then you're doing the dogs, you're doing the,
yep,
firearms. Where do the eyes light up? What have you noticed that they enjoy the most?
Yeah, you know, the big, well, it's the hunt. You know, yeah, hands down, it's the hunt. You know, that when we split them up into their groups and we send them off, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, and they're all waiting. Am I the group that's going to get to go hunting first, you know? And so then you get them broke up, and pretty soon it's kind of like Doug from the Child's movie, you know? It's like, squirrel! When that first shot goes, they're all looking, you know? It's funny. I mean, it happens every year. So obviously the hunt is the biggest deal for them. But on the back side of that, it's the cleaning, and just when most of those kids get a bird and they get to have that picture, because we take pictures of all the kids, and so we have it at our banquet, you know, we run on the loops and all, it's like a kid on Christmas morning. So it's a big deal, because a lot of them have shotguns maybe, but not a lot, and then to actually shoot it at a live moving target and then to get something knocked down, it's a proud moment for a lot of those kids.
If they're new to the community or haven't heard about the program before and want to get involved this Saturday, I know we've been telling them to get a hold,
yep,
of Dave Connor, who's,
yes,
the youth chair.
Yes, that would be the person to call, and the sooner the better.
440-1392 is his number. Dave Connor, 440 1392. And we'll come back to that when we wrap things up here. We're talking with Jerry Stidham of the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. You mentioned that you'll show this and the kids get invited to the annual banquet.
Yes,
let's jump into that.
Yes. So right around the corner, we're about 3 weeks out, weekend of November 8th, we'll have our annual banquet. This is our main fundraising function of the year. This is where we try to draw as many dollars as possible that we then manage that money and put it into state and local projects and programs to try to, most of the time we can turn those dollars, every dollar we raise, it usually gets turned into $4 to $5 minimum. In some cases, $7 to $8. It just depends on the landowner or where it's being used and what other programs we can tie into the project to free up as much money as possible to that. So this is it. I mean, this, and it's the same for any other conservation group. They've got their one big annual banquet, and it's their main fundraising function of the year. And so it's an important function for us. So
give me the details, the date. Okay. You gave us the date,
November
where,
8th.
What time, all that.
November 8th, we'll be out at the UNIS Conference Center. This is our second year out there. Great facility. They treat you like kings out there. So, I mean, it's a
top-notch.
Top-notch plush area. Doors will open at 5. We'll have games going on. We'll have tons of games. Dinner will start at about 7, somewhere around 6:45, 7, with the auction to start by 8. We usually are wrapped up and out of there no later than 10:30, but by 10, typically, right around 10, we'll be getting done.
Well,
so
it just depends when you
just
want
depends.
It. Just depends when you want to leave.
You know,
right?
if the money's flowing and people are bidding, we'll stay as late as we need to. That's kind of the way it works. So
anything special? I always like to bring up the auction a little bit. There are some of the same items that go to a variety of the Pheasants Forever auctions, but what's unique this year?
Over the years, you know, prints were always big. You know, that was always part of the banquet package, a lot of prints. A lot of people are getting printed out. They just have so much wall space. They can't put any more prints up on walls. So Pheasants Forever started to kind of, they still have that core number of prints. We've got some really nice ones. We've got, you know, James Houtman has got the print of the year this year. He's been around a long time, done a lot of stuff for a lot of different conservation groups. It was his turn to get the print of the year for Pheasants Forever. He's got a wonderful print. You know, we've got some of the standbys. You know, Terry, we got a couple of Terry Redlands. There's a couple of David Barnhouses, big name print people. Rosemary Millette, who's right from the area, you know, Omaha, Western Iowa area. We always have her. Scott Kennedy, who's kind of been an up-and-coming. He's been around a while, but he's really become big in with prints for conservation groups and especially for PF. He's done a couple of series with them now over the last years. So we got a lot of great things there. You know, prints-wise, they're top-notch. So they've gone out and they've done some other things. I like this. They went out and they did a Savage Thumbhole 17th HMO rifle. It's just a nice little .22, but they've added ammo with it. So as a kind of a collection. So we're going to use that probably as a live auction item. We've got a great list of guns right now. We're looking, you know, shotguns, rifles. Probably one of the most interesting things that we came up with this year, we've got a Taurus 9mm semi-automatic pistol, and we've got a concealed carry course to go with it. So that's kind of a nice, interesting thing that you typically wouldn't see at a conservation banquet.
So if I'm going to get Damon something, okay, because I've said this before with everybody out here. I'm not a hunter.
Right.
And we're talking conservation,
yes.
So I don't want to say that either. But so I'm not going to get a gun. I'm not going to purchase a gun. But I want to get something for Damon. I want to get something for me. Christmas is right around the corner here, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that
you
I should be looking at?
We've always got stuff. You know, Belchner's goes with us from up in Amherst. They split some costs on processing, so we usually get a hog through them, and we do half hogs with processing. We've got
you know, like food, right?
I'm in the middle of
bacon,
baby, and they'll cut whatever you want. So I mean, you can probably get as much bacon as you want as part of that half hog. I'm sure. I think they're pretty easy to work with up there. They've been really good over the years. So you know, we've got that. We're still working on some other stuff to try to hit as many of the different levels. We're trying to get some more women's stuff, you know, to try to. Have some stuff there for the women, and it is. We try to truly promote this as a family event. It's just not the guys going out and spending money, and the wives are, you know, you get home, the wives are like, okay, how much did you spend? You know,
which is followed by, see you Monday.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, we try to do it. We want as many kids there as we can. We, you know, we give away, we usually give away 2 youth guns every year. We got 2 again this year. We give away at least 1 lifetime youth permit every year through either live auction or raffle. So, again, we try to focus on getting his family. We want it to be a family event because, like you said, outdoor sports, outdoor living, outdoor everything is family oriented. So that's we try to do our event the same way.
Well, as we wrap things up here with Jerry Stidham of the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever, if folks, because you always want to know how many are going to be there, how do they get signed up for the banquet?
Okay, so if you know, the more that we can get pre-sold, the better, obviously, to try to nail down our numbers. But you can give John McCrander, he's our chapter president, his number is area code 308-233-1334, or they can give me a call. I'm the banquet chair. My number is area code 308-440-7713.
Anything else that we missed?
No, we crammed a lot of info there in about 5 minutes, and that's usually the way it works.
Well, folks, again, if you want to get involved with your youth in that kind of that 12 to 15 age group for the youth mentor hunt, which again is exactly what it says. You're going out there with the adults that love what they do with hunting and teaching. Get a hold of Dave Connor, the youth chair, 440-1392. It is this Saturday, 7:30 registration out at the Fort Kearney Shooting Sports Grounds, just outside of Kearney, and you'll be out of there by 2, breakfast and lunch provided. They go over Blue Rock dog handling, as Jerry said, first aid, bird cleaning. They have the hunt and everything like that. And then, of course, the banquet is coming up on Saturday, November 8th. Yes, that's the next bye week for the Huskers, just in case you
weren't aware of that. We did that on purpose.
You can get a hold of Jerry, 440-7713. Jerry, hopefully both events go very well, and we'll talk again about what you guys are doing with the money, and because I know a lot of it goes to some different things every single year.
Tons and tons of programs available. If you're a landowner, please get a hold of your local extension. They can pass you on. Get on Pheasants Forever website. They can get you in touch with the regional biologist for our area. It's actually Ethan Teeter. He's up out of Broken Bow. He's originally from Sargent, so he's a homegrown boy. He knows the area very well. And they can do a lot of work for you and get what you want to get done. So.
Well, Jerry, thanks for giving us some time, and
Thank you again,
best of luck with both events.
All right.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Danny Show. Jerry Stidham, Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever. We're going to talk Big Ten football with Stanley Jackson of the Big Ten Network. It is media days for basketball. A couple of Huskers. Can you believe this? When's the last time we said both the men and women had preseason first team all-conference? The women, but for the men, wow, it's been a while. We'll talk about that. Also, Luke Hoover with your fantasy football report, RotoWire. He'll answer all your questions. Again, with all the injuries and all the buys and all that stuff going on, we know you got questions. Get them tweeted. Get them emailed to us. We'll be back here on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
More high school sports action comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Thursday, it's the Lou Platte Conference Volleyball Championship on Classic Hits 98.9. Adams Central and St. Paul in the consolation game at 6. Then Kearney Catholic battles Ord for the title. On Friday, football has Ravenna at Gibbon on Classic Hits. 1230 KHAS has St. Cecilia at Sutton. On ESPN 1550, Kearney Catholic Minden and Adams Central Lexington on ESPN 1550 Friday.
Yeah. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Beautiful autumn day in progress with plenty of sun, highs push into the 70s. It will be a bit windy, however, at times. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Steve Wollenhaus. Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Thursday.
Jeff.
He's efforted for you.
Efforted and done a fantastic job. Big Game James Shields nickname is not for any prowess on the baseball field, but his nickname is actually because he is a huge James Worthy fan. And James Worthy was known as Big Game James. So there you have
that's
it.
That's urban legend.
Now that's what you call getting the information to the fan base that needs it. And now we cannot mock him anymore for giving himself a nickname based upon his pitching prowess because it has nothing to do with that. So I feel better now.
Okay. As long as you're happy.
Hey, it's all that, you know. All I can do is worry about my happiness. I can't worry about yours, Doug.
Again, a very fundamental platform of the Communist Party.
There you go.
Worry about
Thank
yourself
you.
And nobody else.
Exactly.
Czar
exactly.
Czar Damon.
Exactly.
We're calling you the Czar. You're going to have a nickname here pretty soon. At least one.
Was that Freddie Pacheco? Was he the Czar?
Czar the Telestrator?
Yeah.
No.
Freddie Pacheco was the fight doctor.
Yeah, Mike Fratello. The ex-Cavs coach.
Yeah.
You should have known that.
Okay.
Fratello, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
There
the
you
short
go.
Guy with the...
Yep.
Yeah.
The czar of the telescope.
Did a lot of NBC basketball after he got out of coaching for
there
years and years and years. Folks, good time to enjoy lunch at the Chicken Coop. Thursday, the only day that the appetizer specials are extended. Come down today for discounted apps. Love the porky-style potato skins. You can get the regular, but you get that pork on there. $4.99 onion rings, buffalo chips, Southwest munchers, a big, huge plate of nachos as I was enjoying while watching the ball game. They're all there for you in those appetizer special extended hours, 2 through midnight. You're in watching the baseball game tonight. You're in watching Thursday night football. It's all there for you. And lunch specials, which run from 11 to 4 daily. On Thursday, the Po' Boy shrimp sandwich with your choice of side. They've got a great sauce that goes on that Po' Boy shrimp sandwich. It's only $6.49 when you throw in your choice of side. It's at the Chicken Coop, where you can enjoy the best of both worlds, sports bar and grill, the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this day after the Royals clinched the American League Championship Series, and you kind of get to glow and bask in it, Damon, for a few days. And this is one of the days where I will have to say that I really, really rooting for the St. Louis Cardinals so we have more baseball and they extend the series with the Giants.
I think that's the worst thing that could have happened for the Royals is sweep.
Too much time off?
Yes.
Because they come off sweep? Shields will be ready to go, though.
What big game? Big Game James is rolling, but when is it? Tuesday? So they roll
Tuesday game one in Kansas City.
That is such an awkward thing for them to do, to be off for that many days. They're going to be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They're going to be off a full 5 days to their next. That's in baseball. That's an eternity for major leaguers.
I want to. We'll bring this up with Stanley Jackson here as we switch our attention to football on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, because Indiana has a young man that we knew about in the Big Ten that is now starting to get some national attention for the Heisman. And I don't think it's too late to burst onto the scene, but I think for Indiana, your stomping grounds, it's too late to win it from a playing for Indiana, because he plays for a team that's not going to be competing for top 10 spots. But let's get into it with a former Ohio State Buckeye. Here's a guy that knows what it's like to put a rose between the teeth and then head out to Pasadena. Stanley Jackson of the Big Ten Network joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning. How are things?
I'm well, guys. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. And, you know, here's a question I should have asked before. All the Big Ten teams, the Rose Bowl is obviously the biggest thing out there. Did you ever put the rose between your teeth?
Unfortunately, I'm a little smarter than that. You got to look out for the thorns.
That's what I'm saying. That's the next question. Did you get thorned?
Yeah, you don't want to have thorns in your mouth. So, no, I wasn't one of those guys to put the rose in my mouth. But it was an exciting time for Ohio State football. It was the first time we had gone in over 20 years. And it's something. It's a special moment. It is definitely the granddaddy of them all. And to know that we're going down to round up the playoffs soon and all those bowls will go away are a little bittersweet.
Well, we welcome you back to the Doug and Daddy Show, and we want to say Ohio State, to me right now, seems to be so far under the radar after losing to Virginia Tech. Is that a good thing, and is this a football team that's going to make it to Indianapolis?
I think it is a good thing, you know, because it alleviates some of the pressure on this football team that, quite frankly, they failed to with Virginia Tech. And I think, you know, the question marks that were over this team are being answered every week. You know, obviously the first one is, well, how do you replace Braxton Miller? Well, you do it with a redshirt freshman that's averaging over 300 yards passing. That is very effective on the ground. And it's, you know, fixing a young offensive line. And then it's finding a way to stop teams on defense. And, you know, their last game against Maryland, which I think is a competent football team. Not great, but competent. Their defense came up with four interceptions. Three of those were by freshmen. So they're getting better every week, and it's good that they don't have the national pressure on them, that they can just work on themselves and not worry about what media is saying. And then when they get opportunity to win a couple of marquee games that they will have against Michigan State at East Lansing and then going on the road to Minnesota, you know, that could spring them right into that discussion of being in the playoffs.
Stanley Jackson, Big Ten Network, former Ohio State Buckeye with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've been talking, you know, you talk football on the show almost every single day, and all the way back when we really jump into it at Media Days in Chicago, where they've got basketball today. But I, from my perspective, Stanley, there's not a whole lot that has really surprised me so far with the Big Ten. I didn't think Wisconsin was going to be all that, but there is one thing. And that's about Ohio State's arch rival, Michigan. I am surprised at how much they've struggled. Do they have any chance of fixing the ship before the end of the season?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think first you want to look at their talent pool. And they have talent there. You know, the last few years they've had a top 10 recruiting class, had the number one overall pick a year ago. But I think they're challenged on a number of levels. I think that you got to coach kids well. And I thought I always want to bury coaches here, but when I watch them at certain positions, I can tell you this, that they're lacking. Their quarterbacks are too loose, and it's not just Devin Gardner. It's the same thing when Shane Morris plays. They're too loose mechanically. They force too many balls. And turnovers have you lose football games. Let's face it, their defense is very good. Their defense stops the run, and they'll get after you. I mean, they had the one game against Rutgers where they didn't stop the pass and Garrett Neville went off. But other than that, they've been able to shut teams down. They shut Penn State down. So the defense plays well. But offensively, they're a bad football team. They haven't figured out how to run. And they don't play with emotion. And so until they figure out some of those things, I think they're going to have a tough, long road. You still got Ohio State, you know, in Columbus. You got to go to East Lansing. Those are two tough football games. I think Michigan is in trouble, and I don't think that's good for the Big Ten. In order for the Big Ten to be perceived as a power conference, you got to have your historic teams playing well. And right now, it's a question mark about how good Michigan is going to be going forward.
Damon Day here. Is the Big Ten still perceived as a power conference with their struggles of late?
I think so. Yeah, I think some of that stuff gets blown out of proportion. You know, you take two middle-of-the-road Big 12 teams in Texas A&M and Missouri. I mean, let's face it. They weren't lighting the Big 12 on fire. But they go into the Southeastern Conference, and they're competitive in their first 3 years. Missouri winning the East in 1 year. So I think sometimes it gets blown out of proportion. You know, two schools out of Mississippi haven't done anything in 100 years at football. You know, they've never won an SEC, championship. But now, all of a sudden, they're part of the power package as some of the historic powers are down in Florida and Tennessee. So for me, I take all that with a grain of salt. I think you got some really good football teams that would compete on any given Saturday with teams out of the SEC. You know, our challenge is simply this. We've got to win games in the preseason, and we got to win in the postseason. You know, if you can do that, then that's the only way to change perception. But I think folks around the country, they know, you know, this part of this is, you know, somewhat an aspect of yellow journalism as they pump up one conference. And most of this is perpetuated by ESPN. So I think the conference is still a power conference. I think, you know, and on any given weekend, it's the second or third best conference in the country. Quarterbacks aren't playing as well as I thought they would going into it. But we still got a lot of talent in the Big Ten. Still got a lot of guys playing in the NFL. You know, one of the best defensive linemen right now is from Wisconsin out of the Big Ten. So, absolutely, it's still a power five.
Stanley Jackson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, former Ohio State quarterback.
You're talking about Jared Crick, right, for the Texans?
That's right.
Our hometown boy. He is our hometown boy. Thank God he's got J.J. there next to him, though. Let's get into Nebraska, and they face Northwestern. I was rooting for Northwestern to stay clean against Minnesota because I'm scared about Minnesota. You already brought them up a little bit. Nebraska will be trying to bounce back from their first loss to Michigan State. First, what did you think about that game? Was Nebraska the team that played in the first half, or was Nebraska the team that played in the fourth quarter, and then kind of your breakdown on this Saturday?
I was disappointed. You know, look, I picked Nebraska all year long to win the West and to be my dark horse to compete for a playoff series. And when you don't show up for 3.5 quarters, you know, that's a problem. So I really thought the real team showed up in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure what happened. But, you know, the challenge for Nebraska is how can you win a game when the defense that you're playing is going to stop the run? You know, because that's the key right now. If you can stop Amir Abdullah from running the football, you take away the play-action pass, put more pressure on Tommy Armstrong, it makes it a little difficult. And Northwestern is going to try to do that. Their defense has been very good the last four games, only giving up 44 points. And then they take away the football. I got 12 takeaways in the last six games. So Amir and Tommy are going to be challenged to protect the football. But Nebraska, I think, has to find another way to get the ball into Amir's hands so that he can have an impact on the game. If I think way back to the McNeese State, the game-winning touchdown was a screen. You got to do more things with him like that. You got to get him in space. I mean, he's a good enough athlete to spread him out. You get one-on-one with a linebacker. You can throw him a quick flat because you got to have his impact on the game offensively. And when defenses load the box and take him away, it makes it very difficult. So Northwestern is going to challenge Nebraska this week. I think you guys will win it. But Tommy has to play better, and they have to find out how to run the football.
And the story here, of course, is that all those goals except, and maybe not even except, those goals are still out there, that Nebraska can still win the Big Ten, but they have to keep it clean from now on.
Oh, not only can they win the Big Ten, they could play in the playoffs. So let's lay it out. I mean, you know, Ohio State or Michigan State, you don't get to play them. But if those teams are clean and only have the one loss in conference to each other, then you're going to be playing one of those teams in a championship game. You know, and Minnesota, if they keep it up, you know, they're going to be ranked here shortly. So that's another ranked opponent. So if you can get through with just that one loss to Michigan State and then beat them in a rebound game or beat that one loss Ohio State football team, then you have an argument to play for the national championship, let alone winning the Big Ten Conference.
Last minute here with Stanley Jackson, Big Ten Network, Ohio State former quarterback, still works, obviously, with the Buckeye program. I kind of thought that maybe Iowa, the way they started out here, would have trouble keeping up with teams that scored. So I thought Indiana might pull the upset last week, and then Iowa comes out and puts up over 40 points. But now they go to Maryland, another team that can score. Are they on upset alert? What do you think about that?
I think they are. I mean, Maryland can score, but Maryland can also play defense. I mean, Ohio State exposed them a little bit. But up until that game, Maryland had been in every football game. That's including a game that they came back in against West Virginia. So, yes, Maryland will definitely challenge them. you know, different for Indiana, even though Tevin Coleman was going off running the football like a Heisman candidate, but they lost their quarterback. And when you lose your quarterback and you put in a freshman late in that game, it's really tough to hang. So, yeah, I think they'll be challenged this week. You know, Iowa is so simple. They're going to do what they do. You know, they're going to run two, three tight ends. They're going to run the ball. They're going to lead the play action pass. And they're going to play sound defense with their linebackers. I think one of the good things for Iowa, though, is they're finding plays over 20 yards. And that's something they're going to have to continue to do. Because it's tough to play football when all your plays are within this 15-yard box. Because then what that does, that condenses the box. It brings safeties down. It allows corners to sit on you. And what Iowa has to continue to do is they've got to throw the ball over the top. You stretch and spread out the defense. And that creates better run lanes as well. And so they've done that better lately. I like the way Jake Rudock is playing. He's very efficient. And, you know, but this will be a good game. And they are not out of the dark here. Maryland can absolutely upset them in this football game.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. Michigan State gets Indiana on the road this weekend. But if Iowa can handle them, I'm guessing the Spartans can as well. We're still a few weeks away from that big Ohio State-Michigan State matchup. So, Stanley, hopefully we can do it again. We'll let you get back to your day and take care of the kids, all right?
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Take care. Stanley Jackson, Big Ten Network. He's got four running around. Damon, you're behind.
Oh, no. We're right where we need to be. Oh, no. We're right where we need to be. You know, I found what you talked about with the Indiana and the Heisman talk.
Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt. That is the fastest email we've ever got. This comes from Jessica, and Carney says, yes, we are. Right where we need to be. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, no, but it's funny. There's only been two Heisman winners in the last 14 years from the Big Ten. If you go back through, it was Troy Smith at Ohio State in 06 and Ron Dane from Wisconsin in 99.
In how many years?
In the last, I don't know.
So after Crouch won it, who was not in the Big Ten.
Right, he was not in the Big Ten at the time. But I also find that very interesting is that's when now it's predominantly SEC players. And I thought he brought up a great point about the ESPN SEC connection is that's when they started to do more Heisman on ESPN. And you're starting to see those types of things. And so I think that when you start to look at, and I thought the great point about the SEC is look what Missouri and Texas A&M did moving from the Big 12 right into the SEC and being competitive right away. I think that's something that we all lack sometimes is that perspective that our main source of news and our main source of coverage, the main SEC is in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, and so I do find it very interesting that they're talking about all these teams being up. How big of an impact is that going to have on that on those 13 members of that committee? Because ESPN doesn't have a vote. You know, ESPN doesn't truly have a vote on that 13-panel committee, so I'm going to be very interested to see if that SEC narrative
sure
continues.
Are you sure?
Or
are you sure they don't have a vote?
Berman? Who do they got? Gruden?
No, I'm just saying, are you sure?
No, I'm sure that there's discussions about it, but I just find that even other news or agencies, such as the Big Ten Network, notice how big of an impact ESPN has on what we're talking about, who's getting votes, where guys are getting ranked at from the Big Ten from the standpoint of Heisman and other types of awards. It is amazing how they basically have a monopoly on information that they get out to the college football consumption, and it's usually SEC biased.
Luke Hoover, RotoWire, is coming up to answer all your fantasy football questions, so fire them up. We go to the Dent Popper inbox here. I'll even give the last name. This comes from Jim Langan. Who may or may not be here as a co-host tomorrow. He says, is the Royals-Orioles series over?
And Greg Holland brings it home.
I don't know.
Bouncing ball, Moustakas, fair ball. Sets, throws, Royals win it. Kansas City, you've got a World Series.
Danny Matthews is about as excited as he was the whole series, and he was as listening to a lot of the game on the radio yesterday and watching it. I did the old turn it on and listen to Danny as much as I could and Ryan Lefevre. He got pretty excited yesterday, and as I look at the Alex Gordon and Danny Matthews bobblehead dolls that are in this studio, and poor Danny, we've had him long enough that, you know, he's the head comes off the top of the bobblehead. He used to make sound. But the battery, which you can't replace, is now dead. And he had four or five calls on there. And one of them was when the Royals won the World Series, and one of them was when they went. And I believe it is the exact same call there. Kansas City, you've got yourselves a World Series. 29 years ago, And so I thought it was kind of cool that he used the same line.
I think the radio guys are what make it.
Oh.
I think that's what I think. If you're the diehard type of fan, I remember listening to Indian game with Herb Score and all those types of things. But I think that Denny Matthews definitely, for those diehard that you listen to driving back and forth to Omaha or I think that just the way he said it gives you goosebumps, and that's what makes sports sports. And that whole series was amazing to me. I mean, if you look, I look at it like you said, I watched the Cardinals game last night. And Adams from St. Louis can't make two simple plays, and it costs some runs. Moustakas makes all those plays and saves runs. And that's the difference between winning and losing in the playoffs is who can make the least amount of mistakes. And the Royals right now aren't making any mistakes.
Game 5 of the National League Championship Series coming up tonight here on ESPN Radio. Go ahead.
Ned Yost, best manager ever. Because at the end of the year, there was not many people very happy with
him. The questions are still there. Colin Cowherd on his daily trip around the world, spanning the globe today, talking with the Royals beat writers. That was like the first question. And I'm going to tell you what, people still aren't sold on Ned Yost. I don't know if it's his quirkiness or if it's just people in the industry, because he's bounced around, that he maybe has made an enemy or two. I don't know what it is. But obviously, he's not going to be looked at as the brightest guy to ever win a World Series, or if they do that, or get to the World Series. So we'll see. Obviously, that should change a little bit if they can win 4 more games this year. We'll take a break, update you on state softball, talk with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and a whole lot more right after this in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. As they continue to expand, they need product specialists, customer service reps, technicians, and more. You can check out the benefits and more online at MidwayCareers.com. See all the jobs that are there. I think there probably are a few listings there that you wouldn't even expect that you could do for the great crew at Midway. And you can apply online, find out all the details at MidwayCareers.com. Be part of the Midway Group. If you've never done one of those jobs, they'll train you. No experience needed. Midway, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Kearney.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to support 22 local agencies by giving to the Kearney Area United Way annual campaign. It only takes one person to change a life. Be the one.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 1 till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5. Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Time out for lunch today at Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a fantastic menu of specialty burgers, sandwiches, and salads. Enjoy full bar service, and you can play live draw keno and wager on nationwide thoroughbred racing, continuing tonight racing from Remington. So race to the finish line. Grand Island, number one for food and fun.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A lot of things going on today. District cross country across the state of Nebraska. You know what? They're gonna probably have a little luck on their side today. This is a good day to run, if there is such a thing, Damon. This is
Tell your
baseball team that this afternoon. Cross country, let's go run.
I woke up this morning and, you know, kind of stuck my thumb in the air. And was like, you know what? Today's a good day to run. I didn't go running, but at least measured out that it would be a good day to go for a jog if you were into that.
You're a genius. You're absolutely a genius. State tennis gets underway today, and state softball is continuing in Hastings. They are in the ninth inning between Omaha Marion and Papillion La Vista, tied at 2. Millard South beat Papillion La Vista South by a score of 14-4. And then the consolation games get going a little bit later on. In Class B, they are scoreless between Elkhorn and Beatrice. In the third, second, Elkhorn South and Gretna in the winner's bracket, they are scoreless as well. And then earlier today in Class C, in a shootout, Ashland Greenwood beats Wahoo by a score of 13-10. Guardian Angels knocks off the number one seed Wayne. They've seen each other before. 13-5 is the score there. Well, it is time for fantasy football.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters. Over two dozen high-definition televisions, including giant HD projection TVs. Every NFL game is on Cunningham's, the place to be. Before we bring in Luke Hoover, I know that Damon Day has to slide out of here for a meeting early. Anything before we go fantasy-wise or the rest of the world-wise?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing to rant about, nothing to...
Is Major League on? They don't call him the best in the business, but he got nothing, huh?
No, just, get out the vote. Vote yes for the youth sports complex.
That's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up soon, and there's a lot of good facts, and I know it's kind of one of those topics, but obviously being the baseball guy, I'm adamantly for it, because if we vote no on it, then we're never going to get anything done.
You're in Tuesday? Are you here Tuesday?
Yep, I'll be here Tuesday to talk about it,
great. All right. No football questions at all for Luke?
I'm so far down. How do you fix 0-6?
That's a good one.
You know, where do you go with that? Where do you go with 0-6?
You know, free agency, a lot of trades.
Just start buying players.
0-6.
Yeah, just start softening the. Yeah, you got to trade favors for next year, Damon. We'll see you tomorrow or see you Tuesday, man. Have a good weekend. Luke Hoover is in with us here from RotoWire, RotoWire.com. We had a near record number of questions last week, so fire them off. Tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550, and you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. When's Ryan Matthews coming back, Luke?
Well, you know what? He's not even really running at this point, so that's anybody's guess. I feel like it's got to be probably at least another 3-4 weeks away, you know, at the earliest. And at this point right now, they really don't need him as well as Brandon Oliver's playing, you know, back-to-back games with over 100 yards rushing. Looks a lot like a little bit like a Gio Bernard type out there, low to the ground, shifty. I've said that a couple times already, you know, catches the ball well out of the backfield. Yeah, they're okay there. The depth is the scary part with San Diego. Donald Brown still coming back from that concussion, but Matthews isn't that close, unfortunately.
Let's take a look at. I've seen some trades start to happen here in a few of the leagues. I want to ask you about a couple of them. Here's one: Percy Harvin and LaShawn McCoy for Julio Jones and Trent Richardson.
You know what? If I'm the guy that gets Julio in that deal, I'll take it. I think McCoy will definitely bounce back and have some good days like we saw last week. They're not really running enough, though, unfortunately, inside the red zone. He's not finding the end zone. And, you know, I think Richardson will be steady. You know, it's the highest scoring offense. He's finally starting to get in the end zone himself, 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. And he has the size to be productive at the goal line. And as long as Andrew Luck's slinging it the way he is, he's going to get some chances.
What do you do with the New England running back situation? Brandon Bolden is starting to get picked up in some of these leagues. Is it Ridley all the way, or nobody can seem to figure it out? But once you eliminate enough of these guys, how many running backs can they possibly play?
Well, Shane Vereen is not an every down back, so you know someone else is going to factor in. Vereen probably getting the biggest workload of the group, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it be a committee where three backs are used. The rookie, James White, did some nice things in the preseason. They like him. You know, he's only touched the ball 6 times so far this year. That was in the blowout they had over Cincinnati. He has probably, you know, between him and Bolden, a little bit more explosiveness to his game, but Bolden has the size. So, you know, that could factor in if he starts getting goal line carries, and then he could be the more valuable between the two. You know, between them, I'd probably pick up Bolden first. He's a little bit, you know, of a proven commodity in the sense that he's averaging 4.5 yards per carry for his career. Now that's only on about 125 or 30 carries or so. So it's not a huge sample, but he's had some productivity in the past. He's got a 100-yard game under his belt and on his resume. James White really hasn't done a thing just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised to see both factor in, you know, at some point down the line.
We're talking with Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Calvin Johnson in a minute, but here is a trade. Scott and Kearney, he is being offered both Minnesota running backs, which I assume is Asiata and McKinnon, along with T.Y. Hilton. And in return, he is asked to give up Marshawn Lynch and Andre Johnson.
You know, I really like T.Y. Hilton's upside. You know, as I said before, Luck is really moving the football well, and Hilton's a big part of that. You know, we saw that last week, but that's probably the best game he's going to have all season, 200-plus and a touchdown. Andre is going to be at least steady on the yardage department, and you just can't trade Marshawn Lynch for those two Minnesota backs. Too much talent for him. You know, in a run-first offense, it's going to still move the football. Last week, I think, was, you know, definitely the exception to the rule for Seattle.
This comes from Chris in Kearney. Says, I'm trading Ahmad Bradshaw, C.J. Spiller, and Michael Floyd for Shane Vereen and Calvin Johnson. Is this a fair deal?
You know what? I would probably take my chances with a guy like Calvin Johnson involved in that, and the upside that Shane Vereen, you know, presents in an offense with Tom Brady under center. They're going to move the football. They're going to put up some points. You know, and Vereen, like I said before, probably gets the biggest workload now with Ridley out. Calvin might miss 2 or 3 more games, but the upside is huge if he can come back healthy.
Calvin Johnson and Shane Vereen for Andre Ellington and Cordell Patterson. Would that be a fair trade?
Not if you're the one getting Cordell Patterson. I love his ability, but I don't think that he's going to quite put it together this season. I don't know how significant that hip injury he's dealing with is. It seems like it's limiting him somewhat, but, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is dealing with an ankle injury that could linger, and they're just not involving him enough. Those two don't seem to be on the same page. That offense is a little bit of a mess right now.
We keep firing him off here for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Let's get away from the trades for a little bit. This comes from Andrew. He says, I picked up Joe Flacco last week with Drew Brees on the bye. First off, congratulations, Andrew. And then he says, with Brees' numbers the way they are, is he still a must-start, or would you consider playing Flacco?
You know, it's an interesting question because I was just having a conversation involving those two quarterbacks earlier today. You know, my column that'll come out possibly later this afternoon, you know, exploiting the matchups on RotoWire, I've got Drew Brees as a downgrade. He's definitely a must-start, you know, most weeks, but he's playing the number one pass defense, you know, through 3 interceptions against that same Buccaneers defense that Flacco just destroyed. This week, actually, 2 names that came to mind that I would start over Brees. Flacco was the first. A guy like Carson Palmer would be another alternative. But if you got Flacco, I can't blame you at all for playing him against a bad Atlanta defense at home.
This comes from Ryan in Hildreth. He says, a standard league, I need 2. Brandon Oliver, Arian Foster, Alfred Morris.
Well, Foster's an absolute no-brainer. He's playing phenomenally well right now, and it's not a particularly tough matchup for him this week. Alfred Morris isn't really being all that productive, but that's because Washington's finding themselves in a hole. I don't think they will against Tennessee, but you know, as good as Brandon Oliver is playing, I'd give him a slight edge over Morris.
Let's go to a Mark. He says, pick three out of this group in a standard league. Martellus Bennett, Joik Bell, Roddy White, Odell Beckham. He says he's got Megatron and Jimmy Graham on the bench, so he wants your insight on those. But first, he needs three out of those four. Who do you set? Bennett, Bell, White, Beckham?
I would probably, among that group, honestly, I would end up probably sitting Roddy White. It's tough to say that, but, you know, Matt Ryan on the road is not as good. Baltimore's defense has been really tough. You're not giving up a ton of wide receivers either. Roddy White's been pretty inconsistent this season. The rest are a little bit better options this week.
This one says, could you please pick one in a touchdown-heavy standard league? Means you get 1 point for 20 yards. It's a non-PPR. Roddy White, Eric Decker, Percy Harvin, Vernon Davis. Which one you like the best?
It was Decker, Davis, and Harvin.
Yeah, he had Roddy White, but you already threw him out, I guess, so yeah.
Well, I mean, if you got to get in the end zone, I really don't like Eric Decker's chances going up against Darrelle Revis tonight. You know what, Vernon Davis is kind of hit or miss, and he seems to have fallen down the pecking order a little bit in that passing game. You know, Harvin's kind of boom or bust, but with his explosiveness, I'd take my chances with him. The Rams defense just got shredded by Kaepernick, who's not the most prolific passer. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Harvin have a big game.
Just a couple of minutes left. If you've got one more chance to tweet us or email us your questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire, do it right now. This one comes from the host, so let me ask you, not that in a PPR league the quarterback necessarily matters, but would you start Colin Kaepernick or would you go with Tom Brady tonight?
I'd absolutely start Tom Brady. You know, besides the fact that he's red hot these last couple of weeks, the Jets still don't have any secondary to speak of. You know, I think they throw it a little bit more with Ridley out, you know, because they don't have as much confidence in the ground game with him, you know, out of the lineup. And you got like Brandon LaFell stepping up, Tim Wright's getting more involved, Gronk's looking like Gronk. So I definitely like Tom Brady as a top five possible option this week.
Luke, somebody asked me just during the course of the week if we ever throw you over the, you know, under the bus if you miss one. And I said, well, Luke never misses one because all he's doing is giving us his best opinion here. But did you miss on anything here in the last couple of weeks that just kind of surprised you?
Well, I mean, I kind of dedicated the introduction of my column last week to how confident I am in Austin Davis. So I feel a little bit more shaken about that after the Niners put a hurting on St. Louis over the last three quarters of that game. I felt awfully smart for that first quarter, though. He looked pretty sharp. He got in the end zone, had about 100 yards, I think, in the first quarter. But he's got a tough lineup coming up. Seattle coming to town is probably going to be pretty upset with their play last week against Dallas. I definitely still own an Austin Davis. I like the upside there. I think they throw it a lot for that Rams team, but he's got to go back to the bench if you were getting a little crazy and starting him last week.
Well, let's do the studs and duds. You've mentioned a couple of guys you like, and you've kind of veered away from anybody from Atlanta, but who's that guy that you drafted in the first couple rounds that probably needs to be on the bench this week?
Well, I already said it before. This week I actually would strongly consider benching Drew Brees. It's one of those decisions that's almost impossible to make because he's still Drew Brees, and you know, any given week, regardless of the competition, you know, you could be having a 350, 400 yard game, you know, and putting up those huge numbers we're used to with him. But he doesn't have Jimmy Graham. The Detroit defense is awfully, awfully stingy, number one in the league versus the pass and number one overall. He's on the road, you know, which he's, you know, historically had a little less success doing that, going and traveling. And, you know, his wide receivers aren't playing that great of football right now. I think it's a down week. You know, like I said before, Flacco or Palmer are better options this week.
And who's the must-play? Who's going to just knock it out of the ballpark?
I love Justin Forsett this week. You know, he's leading the league in yards per carry by a full yard, you know, over among qualified running backs. Atlanta's given up second-most rushing yards in the league behind Green Bay, and the most touchdowns by a long shot. They've already given up 12. Forsett seems to be slowly taking over that Baltimore backfield as they realize he's probably the best fit for that zone blocking scheme.
Jordan Matthews, was he a flash in the pan for the Eagles?
I don't think so, but it's not the same prolific passing offense that we saw last year. They're getting it done right now with their defense. Their defense is playing great football, scoring touchdowns for them, really, really getting after the quarterback. We saw last week they just destroyed that Giants offensive line and got off after Manning. So, Nick Foles isn't having to throw it as much. I like Matthew's talent a lot, though, so I think, he could have a nice second-half surge this season. But, I just dropped him actually in another league. So he's not doing enough right now to really – own them, and certainly not to start them.
And finally here, because I've got the email and I've got some stuff here that says, don't forget to sign up for fantasy basketball. We always talk football with you, but baseball ran down. You guys do all the leagues. Give us a little self-promotion here for RotoWire.
Yeah, I just focus on the football, but, fantasy basketball is kicking off. So that's definitely something to start checking out, all those columns, getting updated and getting ready. If you haven't drafted your team yet, I love fantasy basketball, even though I'm definitely nowhere near the expert in it that I am in football. But that's where I learn everything, the guys that are posting on RotoWire.
All right. They're just showing us the radar that it might be raining today in Foxborough. So would that affect any of our fantasy numbers for tonight's game?
Tom Brady can play in any condition, so I really wouldn't worry too much about him. If anything, that might make the Patriots' defense a little bit more valuable because Geno Smith's already struggling to throw the football. You throw some elements into the equation, and who knows what will happen.
Well, Luke, we always appreciate it. We'll chat again next Thursday, and I'm going with you. I'm taking Brady over Kaepernick, so that's the only thing you got to get right all week, okay?
All right. Well, I'll cross my fingers.
Hey, thanks, Luke. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Luke Huber, RotoWire. Check him out at rotowire.com. He'll answer your questions online. He'll give you all the information along with the entire whole bevy of experts at RotoWire. And don't forget to sign up every week for the Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Fantasy Football Challenge. You just go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Fantasy Football banner. It's free to play. You can play every week, and every weekly winner gets a $25 gift card to Cunningham's. And if you are a weekly winner, you go into the grand prize drawing for the Super Bowl party for you and your friends at the end of the year. All you do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com and then watch your football at Cunningham's. We'll wrap it up next.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
It's the Outdoor Spectacular at Graham Tire. All tires are on sale now. Buy three, get the fourth free after manufacturer's rebate on select tires from Goodyear and Hankook. Get a $60 instant rebate when you buy four selected Goodyear or Dunlop tires. Plus, get rebates up to $160 from Goodyear, Cooper, and Hankook on selected tires. Register to win one of three $500 Shield shopping sprees or a guided pheasant hunt at Top Gun Hunting. It's the Outdoor Spectacular through Saturday, October 25th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
The Kearney Elks Lodge wants to invite you to come back to the Elks. Did you know you can enjoy Sunday brunch every week at the Elks, featuring made-to-order omelets, pancakes, French toast, bacon, sausage, biscuits and gravy, and so much more. Friday night is steak night at the Elks, serving delicious grilled steaks with your choice of sides from 6 to 8 p.m. Kearney Elks Lodge is located just north of Kearney, inside the clubhouse of Elks Country Golf. How long has it been since you've seen your friends at the Elks? Join us this week for Friday night steak night or Sunday brunch and come back to the Elks.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS.
As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. If I'm not around Tuesday or Wednesday, there might be a reason. I'm taking a little bit of my own advice. I haven't told anybody yet, though, Jeff, so you may have to do the whole thing next Tuesday and Wednesday. Can you handle that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You sure?
Yes, sir.
You think you can ask the questions of Morris and Harper and take care of Husker lunch and all that? You giving me the thumbs up to get out of here?
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
How much are those tickets going to cost you?
Well, I got a call this morning. Says he can get me in for $1,800 between kind of like in the dugout area, you know, not all the way down the line and not behind home plate, but between home plate and I can't remember if he said first or third base. I think he said first, which would be the Royal side, obviously. So, yeah, I said, sure, yeah. Let me go recycle some cans, see how close we get. The Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, they'll help save you some money, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday about the Nebraska men's basketball team. It is media day in Chicago for the basketball teams. The Nebraska men picked to finish fourth in the conference in a poll of writers who cover the league. How do you think Nebraska will actually finish? You've got confidence. 50% of you said third or fourth. 40% of you said fifth or sixth. And then 10% of you said all the way, baby, top two. Again, I hate this part of me because I just think, God, how can they be that good again? And it's, I hate to overpick them since they've been picked dead last the last couple of years. I like that fifth or sixth spot and a very great chance of getting back to the NCAA tournament, and that's the coolest part of it all. Today we ask you about Husker football, as we do every Thursday before a Husker game. Jeff has decided that this week's line, he's put it all together from all the pros around the Vegas area, and Mike Perenio says it's 6.5. So we're going to go with 6.5. How will Nebraska fare at Northwestern Saturday night? They'll win and cover the 6.5, they'll win but not cover, or they'll lose outright. I know when I make my prediction tomorrow what it's going to be, so that'll be my selection tomorrow when we make our picks on Pigskin Pick'em. But what do you think? ESPNSuperstation.com. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Midtown Mart of Hastings cooler question. Tim Miles was asked today a little bit. He was kind of goofy in his press conference. Imagine that. But he was asked, do you, since you were picked last the first 2 years in this league, this year you're fourth, do you have a reaction? Miles says, well, yeah, you guys haven't got it right. You know, an old coaching friend told me one time, never trust the media unless it helps you with recruiting. So I kind of stick by that. He says that Pettaway and Shields, Teran Pettaway, by the way, preseason first team for the men. Rachel Terrio, preseason first team for the women. The women picked third and fourth. There's a media poll and a coaches poll, and they're in that 3-4 spot needing to replace Jordan Hooper. For Tim Miles today, he says that we'll probably just throw the ball to Pettaway and Shields and stand there and say nothing. Well, there you go. He says, we're going to be a good team, but everybody will defend us, so we'll see what happens. And again, I don't think he was really serious on most of the questions today. There weren't a whole lot because he was kind of not being directly answered. So he doesn't want to give away too much. I mean, this is a different role, and Coach was asked about that. Do you have to approach the season differently now that the level of expectation is higher? And he says, well, am I meaner to the guys? I think it's important that the guys understand that your college experience only happens once, and expectations are what they are, but nobody should have higher expectations for us than ourselves. He says, the one thing I'll tell you about this group is I think they remember blowing an 18-point lead to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament and then not playing well in the NCAA tournament. And he said that back in Lincoln for the preseason press conference that he had before departing for Chicago when they started practice. On the women's side, Connie Yori says that they're ready to go. They had a little trouble getting it to Chicago today, but they were asked about returning players, how excited they are to have new members in the league, and being with some of the great coaches that come along with Rutgers and Maryland. And then, of course, talking about
about Jordan Hooper. She says, I was trying to stay positive, and you go right down the road of talking about Jordan Hooper. Losing a player of her caliber changes who we are. There was such a focus from our opponents on her, and she was essentially face guarded every game. What this does for us is it changes our spacing on the offensive end, makes some other players going to have to expand their games that have played a lot for us. So Coach Jory said that as well in Lincoln last week before Coach Cook and Head Coach Bo Pelini had their press conference talking about it will be a little bit different. And as I gaze up at the television there, Bobby Bowden's on, and I'm totally changing directions. I think that's the same sport Cody Warren Gibbon. I'm serious. I think that's the same sport Cody Warren Gibbon. So Bobby Bowden on SportsCenter now, talking you know, Florida State, Notre Dame this weekend, and all things to go with football. There you go. He's wearing his Gibbon sport coat. It's kind of weird that that happened. Nebraska volleyball, a winner last night. No problem rolling over Northwestern. They'll host 15th-ranked Illinois Saturday at 3. Hastings College volleyball was a straight-set winner over Concordia. They will play Dort Saturday. Tonight, the Lou Platte Conference volleyball tournament live on Classic Hits 98.9 from Adams Central. The Patriots will play St. Paul in the consolation at 6. Kearney Catholic and Ord will then play in the finals. The Fort Kearney Conference wraps up in Amherst tonight. Elm Creek and Amherst in the consolation at 6:15. Then the championship between Wilcox Hildreth and Axtell. The Central Conference volleyball tournament, they go pool play and finish Saturday. They start tonight at Columbus Lakeview at Aurora. Then they finish up at Aurora on Saturday. Regular season volleyball tonight, Kearney and Lexington are at the Gothenburg Triangular. Hastings is at Columbus. Sandy Creek is at St. Cecilia. Grand Island Central Catholic will play a very good Class D team in Sterling. If you love soccer, Hastings is where you want to be tonight. The 16th-ranked Hastings men will take on 7th-ranked Oklahoma Wesleyan in the NAIA soccer match of the week. It kicks off at 7. Last night, the Hastings women beat UNK. And we mentioned about all the state stuff going on. How about some finals? Do we have some finals yet in Class A? Millard South beat Papillion-La Vista South, and they did finally finish the other game, didn't they? Papillion-La Vista 6, Omaha Marion 2 in extra innings there in Class A. So Jeff says that we've definitely done about everything that we can do on the Doug and Daddy Show today, and we look forward to having you back with us tomorrow. A real cool segment besides Jimmy's Picks, which is always a cool segment, in our Pigskin Pick'em. We've had him on the show before, and Bill Friedman, I know you're going to be interested in this one, executive producer from the Big Ten Network, because tomorrow we'll be talking about the documentary on Brooke Boehringer, the one-hour documentary that will premiere right after the Nebraska-Northwestern game Saturday night on the Big Ten Network. So we'll talk about what they found out, what we can expect to see in that as well. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the state tournaments and see who's going to state cross country. We want to thank Damon Day for co-hosting with us today. Stanley Jackson of the Big Ten Network talking a little football. Jerry Stidham from the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever and Luke Hoover of RotoWire. It's the day after the Royals are back in a World Series. It's got to be a good one. We'll talk volleyball tonight from Adams Central in the Lou Platte Tournament, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.